when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show. Woo! I noticed that some of your hands didn't go up because you don't want anybody to know how old you are, but we know. So, do you remember this song that the Beatles did? Do you want to know a secret? And you promise not to tell? See, we have our own little band back here. So, what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at one of the secrets in the New Testament. It's really a fascinating story, and we are in the Gospel of Luke. We are in Luke 24. We're at 13 through 35. If you want to follow along, you are welcome. It's on the first day of the week, which would be in a Jewish calendar. That would be on a Sunday. Their Sabbath is Friday night through Saturday. Sunset, and so the next day is the first day of their week, and there are women who are coming to the tomb with spices that they prepared, and they found that I am in verse 13, and behold, on that very day, two of them were going to a village by the name of Emmaus. So Emmaus is it would be north and west of Jerusalem, about 7 miles is where this place is. Emmaus in Hebrew is called Warm Springs, is what this little town was. So here is these two people. Eventually you're going to find out that one of the man's names was Cleopolis. Anyway, they were about 60 stadia from Jerusalem. It is where you get the word stadium from. Only a stadium in this case was about 200 feet. So there are about 60 stadia from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. So they're talking about what had happened over the Passover in regards to these three men. Two were criminals and one was the person of Jesus. They're talking about the crucifixion. 15, and while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. 16, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging while you are walking?" So he's asking them, "What are you talking about?" Then it goes on. And they came to a stop, and they looked sad. And one of them said, whose name was Cleopolis. Now, Cleopolis in the scriptures, if you were to go into the Gospel of John, it's the only two times in the scriptures is his name used. Here you're in one, the other one would be in John. And it says he was married to Mary's sister. Really? So, being somewhat curious, I tried to track that down. And other people believe that he was Mary's husband's Joseph's brother. So it sounds like those who wrote the New Testament were confused as to who married who. Or something's going on there that we're not quite sure who was connected to who. Anyway, it's Cleopolis. And they say they came to a stop, and one of them, named Cleopolis, answered him, "Are you the only person alive near Jerusalem who does not know about these things? What happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What sort of things?" And I looked up the Old English for that phrase, "what things?" And the word is behooved not. And I went, "What? What's behooved mean?" Anyway, but that when you go back probably 300-400 years, it actually has the word behoove it not. Anyway, so, but in 19 he says, "What sort of things?" And they say, "Those things about Jesus the Nazarene." So now let's take a pause right there and think about how God in the person of Jesus functions with us. And he will function this way with all of us and with our friends and relatives. The first thing I would have for you to hold on to is that Jesus is a gentleman. He will not intervene in your life if you don't want him to. He's a gentleman. Notice he did not intervene into their conversation, even though they were talking about him. He was mum's the word, right? So he is a gentleman. Doesn't impose himself into their conversation or into ours. Another one is Jesus will never burst into your situation and try to tell you what to do or think. He will walk with you, but won't force himself upon you. He will stay with you as long as you want him to. He'll go with you as far as you want him to go. But he will not break in. He will not make you listen. But he will invite you to learn of him or to be with him. So the first thing I would have for you to ponder is, as you are growing in your relationship with Jesus, it's an ongoing relationship. And your part of the dance, so to speak, is to invite him in. That's your part of the dance. And there's two partners. There's you, and there's God above. Anyway, Jesus. Now we're in at the beginning of, where am I? At 19. It says, Jesus the Nazarene, who proved to be a prophet, doing mighty deeds and word in the sight of God and of all the people. The prophet, remember, there are three main components to religious people in Jewish thinking. There's a priest who offers up things for people to God above. That's a priest. Aaron would have been known as a priest with Moses, right? Offers things to God above. The prophet is somebody who speaks to the people from God. And the prophets in the Old Testament, almost to a person, were murdered because people didn't like what they had to say. And then there was a king. So there's three parts to how the Jewish community for centuries functioned. A prophet, a priest, and a king. So they are speaking of Jesus the Nazarene, who proved to be a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people. Now in 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers, so you have Jewish, the chief priests, and the rulers who are not Jewish, they are in cahoots with each other, and they handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified. Now in 21, and these are Cleopas and his friend, and they say, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it has now been the third day since these things happened. So, in this case, there is still this expectation that Jesus was to redeem them politically and overthrow Rome. And people had a misunderstanding of what Jesus was all about. And I would submit to you that most people today have a misunderstanding of Jesus. So the people you work with, the people who are your neighbors that don't go to church, they have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is and what he came for. And that was true for these Jewish people here. We thought he was going to redeem us politically. He was going to overthrow the Romans. And there was this sense in which that he was to be like David, and then Israel would run the world. That's what the hope was. That isn't what happened. What happens is that he was handed over to be crucified. And then, as you see in 21, but we were hoping it was he who would redeem Israel. And besides all of this, it's now been the third day since it happened. And now here comes the zinger, 22. But some of our women, why does it always happen with women? Have left us bewildered. So gentlemen, here's the question for you. How many times in your lives have women left you confused?
Almost exclusively.
But it says that people were bewildered by what the women, and I don't know if you have this in your head, but it was Mary Magdala, Magdalene. She is from the city of Magdala, which is on the west side of Lake Galilee. And then there would be Mary, the mother of James. In the New Testament, it would be James the Less. And then there was Jesus's actually mother. So they were the three. They left us bewildered. And when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Isn't that remarkable? Now, for those of you that don't have Jewish law in your head, you don't know quite how it gets adjudicated or how it works itself out. What happens is that you had to have two witnesses. Neither of them could be female. They did not believe that women were trustworthy with the facts. Oh. I'm just telling you what it is in the Jewish way of thinking. But in God's providence, look at what happens. Who does he use to carry the message? Is women. So ladies, if you have wondered if God uses women, right from the giddy up, isn't that remarkable? And the thing I love about it is that oftentimes when I had another career teaching, I found that when I was with students, they would blame women for the fall. Have you ever heard that explanation that Eve was the problem?
Ate them out of house and home.
What was the phrase?
She ate them out of house and home.
Okay, you might be shot later today, but go ahead. You can dig your hole, but there is this sense, right, that for generations, people have blamed women. But if you have never read this in the book of Romans, it is not Eve that's brought to blame. Who is it?
Adam.
Because God said to Adam, don't do this. And he did. So ladies, when you're in those Bible studies and somebody throws that at you, you know, without killing them, you can throw it back. But here, almost as a redemption kind of thing, God uses these three women to give the news that Jesus is alive. So there is a theologian from Yugoslavia, I can't even pronounce his name, who said this that I found fascinating. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, if Jesus Christ did not arise from the grave, all is finished. But if Jesus Christ did rise from the grave, all is finished. Interesting, isn't it? Because it changes everything. And the people who were communicating the greatest secret that came to us as human beings came from these three women. He's alive. And that changes everything. Let's continue to look. 24. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it exactly as the women had said. But they didn't see him. And then it says, and then Jesus begins to speak. Now, wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the shoulder listening to Jesus and these two, what he would call, if you were to translate it, coming out of the Greek, those who are dim-witted is actually what the phrase is. How many of you have ever said to yourself, I must be dim-witted? Anyway, listen to it. You foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory? We started this, our sermon today, with this saying, do you want to know a secret? And then, of course, my band group back here has the little echo, doo, doo, doo. Anyway, but there is this secret that God had kept hidden for years. Only it was obvious if you read them that the secret was, is that the Messiah would come and suffer. For those of you that don't have that in your head, that is in the book of Isaiah, or our English friends would call it Isaiah, and it would be from about chapter 52 through 59. And it talks about the suffering Messiah. And yet no one saw it. It was a secret. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things written in the scriptures about himself. Isn't that wonderful to think about? That Jesus would explain what God's secret had been all these centuries. And it was open if you were able to see things, but no one saw it. No one saw it. As they approached the village, now they're in Emmaus from Jerusalem, so about 7.5 miles north and west. They were almost there. And he gave them the impression that he was going on further. And so they urged him, stay with us, for it is getting near evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went and stayed with them. And it came about that he reclined at the table with them, and he took bread, blessed it and broke it, and began giving it to them. And it was at that moment in verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Fascinating story. Fascinating. So if you have a moment, if you have a Bible, look down to 35, and this is where we're going to end this message. It says, and they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them and the breaking of bread. So what I want you to do is find two or three people, and I want you to share a little bit of your experiences or relate to them about your connection to Jesus. In the scriptures, this would be called our testimonies. If you have a Baptist background or whatever, that would be part of the words that they would use. Another word would be the word witness. What is your witness about Jesus? It comes in three forms for all of us. There is our past, who we were, and then how did we come to know Jesus ourselves, and then the last one is where we are today. That's our testimony. But before we get to that, I want to give you some other input. When you are meeting people, and we will all meet people every day, and you are like, boy, I'd like to get to know them, but maybe you feel like, you know, I don't know how to do that. Well, let me give you four questions that can help you as you build relationships with people. And it's really basic stuff. Your first question when you meet people, and I love to do this, that was part of my job, I would go to football games and sit in the middle of a group of people I didn't know, purposefully, and then I'd start with these four questions. The first question at a football game is what?
What are you rooting for?
What's the score? Now, if you're looking, the scoreboard's right over there. But you don't care what the scoreboard is. You want them to talk to you. So what's the score? Or you could say, what's going on? It could be out of play. It could be you're anywhere. But what's going on? And you want people to begin to interact with you. This isn't about you. It's about them. So get the conversation going where you can talk with them. A relationship is communication, dialogue, back and forth. So the first question is, what's going on? The second question is, you introduce yourself. And then you ask them their name. The most important word in most people's vocabulary is?
Their name.
Their own name. So you show interest in them. What's your name? And then, you know, where are you from? What school do you go to? What kinds of things do you want to be a part of? As the relationship grows, and you have more time with them, the question will be, what are your dreams? What kinds of things would you love to be a part of over your lifetime? Notice you're asking about them. You're not telling or talking about yourself. Most people are bored when all of us talk about ourselves. So you talk about them. And then the last one, which is really wonderful, especially if you're with younger people, is how can I help you turn your dreams into a reality? Those of you who don't know this, last week my grandkids were up here. They came with Jesse, who is my middle son, even though I called him my oldest son. Anyway, he was here with his two of his three kids, Colin and Andrew. And Colin is a very good student, likes to play trumpet, all that kind of stuff, but he's looking to be a mechanical engineer. And one of the great things of this community of faith, without embarrassing him, is that David right over here comes up to Colin and says, if you ever have any questions, that's what I do. And I'll help you with schooling if I can. But notice what he's doing. He's trying to turn Colin's dreams into a reality. And the fact that there would be somebody that Colin didn't even know that wants to be helpful. For him, he came home and he says to his dad, Jesse, Dad, why can't we live in Ohio? All because an adult cares. Isn't that wonderful? And how hard was that? It's so easy. But to give you those four questions again, and then we'll go back to this testimony. It's what's going on. Then you find out their name and you give them your name. And then at some point, what are your dreams? Hey, until last Sunday, David had never known Colin. And Colin was on the phone saying, do you think I could actually call him? I said, my bet is you could. Anyway, it's that kind of stuff. And then the last one is helping people, regardless of their age, turn their dreams into a reality. And how many of you still have dreams? How many of you are hoping they'll be true someday? Yeah, me too. So it's that kind of stuff. But now let's go back to this whole thing of the testimony and the witness. The idea of a witness or a testimony is you talk a little bit about your past. Where did God bring you from or out of? And then you say how you met Jesus. And then the last one is where are you today? Now we're not going to do all of that because that would take way too much time for this Sunday. But I would like for about 3 to 4 minutes for you just to share a little bit about the things that you love about Jesus. All right? So find 2 or 3 people and get at it. Go ahead. Right over here, if you could not leave Brian alone, he's not very good when he's by himself. David and Denise, Diane, if you could just slide over and catch these two or turn around and catch you. Anyway, just don't let somebody be alone. Okay, things that you like about Jesus. Go ahead.
Sacrifice, you know, stuff that's hard to comprehend.
Karen, if you could engage Dale back there.
Really strong.
If you, Karen, if you can make sure Dale and you connect. Good.
Genesis. like, oh, it's whatever it is. And I know that it's not always going to be fun.
If I was going to be at the church,
at the very least, to know that he's having potential desire that I have.
One more minute. You're done. You can talk about the past. So as we bring this to a close, we will, I want you to hear in verse 32 what Cleopolis and his friend, we don't know if it was another guy or if it was his wife, but they were definitely going back to Emmaus. And they say to him, once they found him, they said, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Now, it's real important for you and I to have the scriptures and to understand what this says. It'll change your life. Amen. Is understanding and working with the scriptures. The other thing I would have for you to know is that Easter Day, on Jesus' day of resurrection, was very busy. If you don't have it in your head, he catches up with Mary Magdalene as she is walking from the tomb. He actually catches up with her. And she thinks he's the gardener, which is really funny. And then he speaks, and she is shocked, bewildered. There's all these people who have followed Jesus that were sad, they were disappointed, they were bewildered, they were amazed. It's a confluence of all kinds of different emotions. And maybe you have known that in your own life. What do I do with all that I'm learning about Jesus? It's at times so confusing. Yeah, it is. The only way I can help you as a person navigate the confusion is decide you're going to make a commitment to be around people who are studying the scriptures together. But there was the women at the tomb, and then there's this story where Jesus catches up with Cleopas as they head out of Jerusalem on their way to Emmaus. And then after that, here is Cleopolis. They're in Emmaus, and they've had this encounter with Jesus, and they turn right back around, and they head back to Jerusalem because they wanted others to know that they had just been with Jesus. It was a busy day. And I would say for all of you, and for myself included, we will over our lifetime have encounters with Christ. And one of the most powerful things you can do is to tell others. All right? Let's have this one last song called Above All. Somebody you meet that say, God has no interest in me. because of what I've done. You know those people? I do. Here's the crazy thing. God is more concerned about them than he is concerned about their sin. And so, as a word of encouragement, tell them that, and here's the phrase, God's not angry with you. So here, we all need to practice that. So turn to somebody and say, God's not angry with you. Okay, got that. As a matter of fact, and you don't have to repeat this, God really does love you. And the proof of that is Jesus came and died for us. What more proof do you want? And that's the proof or the input your friends don't have. Father, we are grateful for this privilege we have to think together, to sing, to clap, even if it's not great clapping. Father, we are grateful for this privilege that we have to be together because we really do love one another. It's in your name we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and God's people said,
Amen.
Great time together. Supposed to be almost 80. Get your suntan lotion on.